Ayudaremos con lo que necesites. 91-133-5833.
Las mañanas son más productivas con Richard Vaughan.
You're listening to Richard Vaughan Live.
Hello and welcome back. Okay, we're back for our third half hour. Yeah. Have you ever heard of Nightwish, Nacho? Nightwish, the group? Deseo Nocturno, algo así, Nightwish. Have you ever heard their version of The Phantom of the Opera? Have you ever heard their version of The Phantom of the Opera? Yeah, I can send it to you if you don't have it. The Phantom of the Opera. All right. There we are. Let's see. The Phantom of the Opera is there inside your mind. I don't know if you have it. Nightwish, do you have it? It's a live performance. And it's quite interesting because Nightwish, I think. I'm not familiar with Nightwish, but I'm starting to listen to them a bit. Let's see, Nightwish. Let's see, Wikipedia. Nightwish, a Finnish, es un finlandeses. Symphonic metal band. Yeah. So, metal, metallica, sinfónica. Symphonic metal. Nightwish es una banda de metal sinfónico. Procedente de Kiti, Finlandia. Wow. And they have, for me, not necessarily the best version of the Phantom of the Opera, but for me, the most powerful version. How long is it, Nacho? Is it about 4 minutes? About 4 minutes. Okay, well, let's hear it, okay?
Oh, no, I find
That's an interesting version. It's a pretty powerful version. And it's my favorite version, to tell you the truth, although the original, the Andrew Lloyd Webber version for in the musical, is outstanding. The Phantom of the Opera. Yes, sir, Andrew Lloyd Webber. You know, it's a pity. He made a lot of very good musicals. He was the composers and also the promoter of these musicals. And then he more or less abruptly stopped and got into the business on the London West End, into the theater business and musical business, but not, he stopped composing a lot. And that's a pity because he has a lot of very, very, very good music. Okay, Phantom of the Opera. That was a bit of what we call it, comic relief. Comic relief, even though it wasn't comic. Alivio comico is an expression in English. Comic relief. And this expression has been around for 400, 500 years, since Shakespeare. If there's something very, very dramatic, if you're watching a movie or watching a play in which it's very strong drama, the theater, the experts in theater or playwrights always want to add a bit of humor to relax the people. It's called alivio comico. That means people are too wound up in the drama of the situation, and then something funny happens and people relax. Ah, and they remember they're simply watching a drama. It's not real. But in any case, let's go on. Perdí mis gafas, pero no perdí mis guantes. I lost my glasses, but I didn't lose my gloves. I lost my glasses, but I didn't lose my gloves. And la abandoné. Pero no la abandoné para siempre a la pobre. I left her, but I didn't leave her for good. I'm planning to come back. If she accepts me, and she probably won't. Yeah, it's like the song, I Will Survive. I Will Survive. Gloria Gaynor, I think, said, here you are again, back from outer space, and you expect me to accept you? I've found somebody who loves me. Yes. La abandoné, I left her, but I didn't leave her for good. Guardé una copia, pero no guardé un original. I kept a copy, but I didn't keep. I kept, but I didn't keep. These sentences are very, very practical for the mechanics of the irregular verbs. I kept a copy, but I didn't keep the original. Me hice cura, pero no llegué a ser obispo. I became a priest, but I didn't become a bishop. I became a priest, but I didn't become a bishop. The bishop is el obispo. Archbishop, arzobispo. And cardinal, and then the pope. The pope is San Francisco, or Francisco. He's not a saint yet, or maybe never. Francisco, Francis, I think he's having some health problems. I've heard rumors that he's going to step down. I've heard rumors that he's going to step down. Is Pope Francis going to step down? The Pope denies the resignation report. All right. Okay. Se niega. Desmiente. El informe sobre su dimisión. He's not going to step down. The Pope denies it. Resign? Forget about it. He says, yo dimitir, olvídalo. Que no. That's what. So the rumors are not true. Pope Francis says he has no intention of stepping down. To step down is dejar el cargo. Más que dimitir. Because when you say resign, you know, to resign is dimitir. And normally when a person resigns, that person is unhappy about something or is in fear. He's unhappy. But to step down is more or less a decision a person makes because it's time. For example, someday I will step down. Someday I will step down as the morning English teacher. And to step down literally means estás en una tarima, o en un pedestal y das un paso hacia abajo para salir de la tarima en cuestión. So that's the physical idea of stepping down. And of course, we use it figuratively. So Pope Francis says he has no intention of stepping down after, because he underwent surgery. He underwent surgery not long ago. Yes, and he's 85 years old. Yeah, he's 85 years old. And he's going to step down. Who knows? Resign? He says, don't even think about it. Don't even think about it. Come in. We have a visitor. Watch your step. All right. Right over there. Okay. Thank you, Lucinda. Okay, we have a visitor. Nacho, if you can turn on this microphone. All right. He's going to be a passive visitor until the top of the hour, and then maybe an active visitor after that. All right. So make yourself comfortable. Yes. Make yourself comfortable and just follow me. And then at the top of the hour, we say in radio terminology, when we talk at the top of the hour, and the bottom of the hour means that 9 o'clock is at the top of the hour. 9:30 is at the bottom of the hour. So we have 4 minutes of Cunha Radiofónica, 4 minutes of radio advertising or spots. In English, we say spot, un spot publicitario. We say spots we have at the top of the hour and the bottom of the hour. But for the moment, we still have a few minutes to go. And I have a visitor here who comes wearing a tie, very well dressed. I'm yo soy de, voy de paisano. I'm plain clothes. Un policía de paisano, we say plain. Escrito plain, plain clothes. Plain is una llanura. Plain, the word plain, it's interesting. There are at least three different meanings for plain. Escrito plain means una llanura, una meseta. A plain, for example, the famous song, the rain in Spain is mainly in the plain. Plain. The high plains, the great plains in the United States. When you cross the Appalachian Mountains in the east, you enter the eastern prairies, you reach the Mississippi River, you cross the Mississippi, and you're still in what we call the prairie. La Casa de la Pradera, the little house on the prairie. But then the elevation is greater, and you reach what is called the Great Plains. And the Great Plains is where the buffalo, the bisontes, the buffalo, where the buffalo roam. Oh, give me a home where the buffalo roam. And that's in the Great Plains, and then you reach the Rocky Mountains. And when we refer to the Indians in the United States, one group of tribes we refer to as the Plains Indians, los Indios, las tribus de las llanuras, the Plains Indians. And this area is very rich for agriculture, especially for dry land farming. Dry land farming is la agricultura de secano. But dry land farming in the United States is basically wheat, barley, and oats, avena, oats, but especially corn, maíz, corn. Most of Indiana, Illinois, Iowa, and Nebraska are corn. The United States produces probably enough corn for the entire world. You see, and also they produce a lot of soybeans. Soybeans is soja, mucha producción de soja. And although the British say soya, in English, in America, we say soy sauce. La salsa de soja, for example. In the U.S., we say soy sauce. Soy como yo soy, un hombre soy. Soy sauce, but the British say soya, I believe. I believe the British say soya. Let me look it up. Let's say soja in Spanish. Let's see, soy. Soybeans. The soy. Now, in Spanish, you say soja. But in English, that's a soya. Soya. And I think that's the British way. Tofu. A lot of people want to eat tofu. It's a Chinese preparation that is very rich in soy. Soy. In soya. And it's very good for your health, they say. I've tried it, but I'm not too crazy about it. But in any case, let's continue with our irregular verbs. We're talking about irregular verbs and working on agility, agilidad, with con los verbos irregulares. Estuve ahí, pero ellos no estuvieron. I was there, but they weren't. And why weren't they there? Why weren't they there? I don't know. Don't ask me. I have no idea. I was there. I was a witness to the event. I saw it firsthand. Lo vi de primera mano. I saw it firsthand. I was a witness to the event. But they weren't there. They weren't there. Fíjate, tres sílabas muy abruptas. Ellos no estuvieron ahí. They weren't there. They weren't there. And why weren't they there? I don't know. I invited them. And they said they were going to come. They said they were going to come. I extended them a formal invitation. I extended, extender una invitación, decimos en inglés. I extended a formal invitation. And they accepted the invitation. They specifically told me that they were going to be there. But they didn't show up. So, they weren't there. So, I have nothing more to say. Hice un esfuerzo, pero no hice un gran esfuerzo. I made an effort, but I didn't make a big effort. Yes, to make an effort, if you don't make an effort for learning English, it's pretty difficult, if not impossible, to gain a good command of the English language without making an effort. I made a big effort to learn Spanish. It was necessary. You can't gain a solid command of a second language without making an effort. Even a little child, indirectly, unconsciously, is making an effort to learn his or her mother tongue. A baby is born, and on the very first day, the baby is alive. The baby hears probably 6 hours of language. So the baby receives 6 hours of mother tongue class on the first day of life. And by the time the child has reached the age of six, which is the age in which most children learn to read and write, these children have 20,000 hours of exposure to the mother tongue. So it's natural that children have a complete spontaneity and agility with the mother tongue. But when you approach the language after age 13 or 14, after puberty, it's completely different because the human brain has changed. You have changed. You become more judgmental. You've become more analytical. And it's consciously or unconsciously, you don't accept the forms and structures of the other language. Not that you rebel against them, but you just have to understand them and compare them. You naturally compare them to your own language. I remember many years ago in Guadalajara, in the nuclear plant, Central Nuclear de Zorita, I had a group of students, and one of them was Cesario, a beginner. These were beginners. And Cesario was from La Felguera in Asturias, the mining district. But he was a member of Unión Eléctrica at that time, which owned some mines in La Felguera and Mieres. And they were closing the mines, so they sent a lot of people to the Central de Zorita in Guadalajara. And he was in my class trying to learn English. He was probably 45 years old. A 45-year-old miner. Okay, trying to learn English. And I remember, it's on the table. He says, it's on table. And he says, table. And he says, hoy. He says in Spanish, hoy. Todo el mundo, hombre, table. Dicen table cuando se sabe que es mesa. Que se sabe que es una mesa. Y estos dicen table para una cosa que cualquiera sabe que es mesa. So for him, the reality of the object was intimately connected to the word, the Spanish word he's used all his life. Because Cesario probably spoke only Spanish and maybe Bable. And so he was probably Bable is Nacho. ¿Cómo se dice mesa en Bable? You don't know? We can look it up. Probably it's mesa. Probably it's the same. But I have a friend who speaks very fluent Bable, by the way. And he's blind. He's turned blind at the age of 7 or 8. And he lived up in that area. He lived up in a very tiny village near Cangas de Onís, up in Asturias. And he knows about 6 or 7 languages now. He speaks English very, very well. He speaks French perfectly. He speaks German. He speaks Russian. And he, of course, he speaks Spanish, speaks Bable. And he was, for many years, the Secretario General de la Unión Mundial de Ciegos. Doing a very important job, very, very intelligent man. And Pedro, if you're listening to me, it's good to, I hope you're listening. He listens quite often. And he's a brilliant person. And for a few years, Nacho, llegaste a conocer a Pedro? Yeah, you do, you remember, okay. And he joined me on Fridays. Every Friday, Pedro was a member, as we call a victim. You know, I had students I often call victims. And he was one of my victims. And so, I think he speaks perfect Bable. But I don't know, I'm going to find out. ¿Cómo se dice mes en Bable? We'll see if we can find out. I don't think the internet will give me this. ¿Cómo se dice mesa en Bable? I don't know. Palabras y expresiones en Bable más empleadas en Asturias. I don't know. Y asentados a la mesa. Yes, it's mesa. Mesa. Here it is. We have a sentence that uses the word. All right. And I haven't been to Asturias in a long time. It's one of my favorite places in Spain. Well, every province in Spain is my favorite. But Asturias and Murcia were the last regions of Spain that I visited in my life. I came to Spain in 1972, August. By summer of 1973, 1 year later, almost 1 year later, I had visited every province in Spain. Well, every region. Well, except Murcia and Asturias. And then the Balearic Islands and Tenerife. And the Canary Islands. Okay. But I had been to Ceuta already, but not to Melilla. So, the following year, I finished my university degree in Texas. And then I came back in 1974. July 74. And I started working, and I got a job immediately in the Central Nuclear. And the following year, in 1975, I took a vacation, and I rented a Seat 600. And by myself, I drove from Madrid to Asturias. So I had to see Asturias. And I spent 2 weeks driving around Asturias in a 600. Had a really good time, because I met a lot of people. At that time, people were hitchhiking. At that time in Spain, you saw a lot of hitchhikers, autostopistas. And so I picked up hitchhikers in Asturias, and always they were interesting people. And so we went to Candás, we went to Cudillero, we went to Grado, we went to Cangas de Narcea, we went to Navia. Of course, we went to Oviedo and Gijón and Riva de Sella and all of the places. And Covadonga. Now, and I drove, I remember from Covadonga, I drove that 600 by myself. I was alone. And I drove it up to see the lakes, Los Lagos de Covadonga. And I had to stick my head out of the window to see. It was so foggy. And when I reached the top where the lakes are, you could not see your hand extended in front of you. Practically. I'm exaggerating a little. But it was very difficult. And I was able to see the lake if I approached the shore and could touch it. Then I said, guys, un poco de agua aquí. Said, es el inicio del lago. But you couldn't see it. 40 years later, I saw the lakes. 40 years. I'll be right back.
Prueba el método Vaughan con nuestro curso trimestral. Elige entre nuestra modalidad presencial o por videoconferencia. Y el resto, déjanoslo a nosotros. 3 meses de listening y speaking con los mejores profesores del mercado. Entra en grupovaughan.com e infórmate. Curso trimestral de Vaughan.
Lo que más miedo da al profesional español es hablar por teléfono en inglés. Por eso Vaughan ha desarrollado las clases telefónicas, en las que trabajarás tanto tu comprensión auditiva como tu fluidez oral con un auténtico crack de la enseñanza. Tú eliges la hora y la temática de cada clase. Flexibilidad absoluta. Calidad Vaughan 100%. Contrata las clases telefónicas de inglés de Vaughan para tu empresa. Llama al 911-335-8831 o entra en grupovaughan.com.
Dispara tu carrera profesional con un máster Vaughan. Dominarás el inglés oral en situaciones cotidianas y profesionales. Aprenderás a escribir correctamente textos y cartas de negocios en perfecto inglés y transmitirás una imagen de profesionalidad. El máster incluye una o dos inmersiones lingüísticas en Vaughan Town, donde practicarás lo aprendido en el máster con angloparlantes nativos de todas partes del mundo. Puedes hacerlo a tiempo completo o a tiempo parcial. Tú eliges la que más te convenga. La versión completa se realiza por videoconferencia e incluye más de 900 horas de inglés y dos inmersiones en Vaughan Town. La versión parcial se realiza también por videoconferencia o, si lo prefieres, de manera presencial en nuestros centros de Madrid, Barcelona, Valencia y Zaragoza, e incluye más de 500 horas de inglés y una inmersión en Vaughan Town. Todo, por supuesto, en un entorno seguro, cumpliendo todas las medidas de higiene y distanciamiento social. Te estamos ofreciendo el mejor programa de inglés del mercado. Tú decides. Máster en inglés profesional. Para más información, grupovaughan.com.
Okay, now tell me when to do 10 more push-ups.
I want to do 10 more push-ups.
Very good. Ask me if I'll tell you to do 10 more.
Will you tell me to do 10 more?
No, I'm going to tell you to do 20 more. Ask me if I care.
Did you care?
No, 20 more.
Come on.
Ahora, más oportunidades. Sigue entrenando tu inglés con tu mejor entrenador, un profesor Vaughan. ¿Por qué no aprovechas también ahora la hora de comer para poner en forma tu inglés? Apúntate a un curso de inglés trimestral por videoconferencia. Seguro que siempre has querido probar el famoso método Vaughan, pero no hay un centro Vaughan en tu ciudad. ¡Voilà! Aquí tenemos la solución ideal para ti. El método Vaughan en una clase por videoconferencia, con los profesores mejor formados para subir un peldaño tu nivel de inglés. Disfruta de todo el dinamismo e intensidad de una clase Vaughan ahora en videoconferencia y en una plataforma rápida y de fácil instalación. Nuestra avanzada tecnología permite que nuestras clases por videoconferencia tengan la misma velocidad e intensidad que una clase en el aula. En tan solo un par de clics podrás acceder a la plataforma y empezar tu clase. Y recuerda, prueba de nivel gratuita. ¿A qué esperas? Entra ahora en grupovaughan.com/clases videoconferencia. Fácil, cómodo y muy eficaz. Sigue poniendo en forma tu inglés.
¿Quieres recibir clase conmigo? Pues si quieres, tienes 200 horas de clase de inglés gratis en RTV a la carta. Ve a Google y escribe Vaughan RTV a la carta. Y presto, ahí verás más de 370 clases de media hora y cada día se añade una más. Desde principiante hasta avanzado, te llevo por todo lo necesario de mi idioma. Píldoras potentes de inglés. También hay libros de texto que acompañan al curso, pero son opcionales. Con o sin ellos, aprenderás mucho inglés o mejorarás mucho tu dominio. Pruébalo en Google. Vaughan RTV a la carta. Ahí nos veremos.
You're listening to Richard Vaughan Live.
Hello and welcome back. We're back for our last half hour of today's Monday edition of Richard Vaughan Live. Today's Monday. My God, what a downer. A downer means una cosa depre. What a downer. Eh? But I enjoy Monday. It's my fourth favorite day of the week. Yeah, my fourth favorite day. Let me see what I have on my agenda today. I have a visitor right now who's sitting opposite me. Then I have a coffee with a good friend of mine at 1 o'clock. And you know, I think instead of a coffee, I think I'll have a glass of wine with him. And you know, we're getting together in a place that also serves food. So we may end up having lunch together. Puede que acabemos comiendo juntos. We may end up having to end up terminar haciendo algo, acabar haciendo algo, o terminar por hacer algo is to end up. We may end up having lunch together. And then you have a doctor's appointment at 20 minutes to 4. Yes, but it's a routine doctor's appointment. All of the tests are okay. I decided to take a battery of tests. Una battery. Batería, battery of tests. ¿Se dice en español también?
Yeah.
Una batería de pruebas. I have a visitor. I'll introduce him in a moment. A battery of tests. Simply because I went to see an internist. Médico internista o algo así se dice. An internist. And she said, hey, why don't you do everything? Do everything. Yeah, everything. So I did everything. And so far, I'm like 30 years old. And people say, my God, you're so, bicho malo nunca muere. I think I have a long time ahead of me. So I'm going to see this she's a cardiologist, the one today. All right. And then later at 6 p.m., I get together with a friend who wrote a book about me, and we're going through it. So he wrote a biography about my life without telling me. La chita callando. I mean, he didn't say a thing. He just showed it to me. 270 pages. My God, Pedro. 270 pages. He wrote that about me in English. And that's why we need to check everything. But I told him, I said, look, you know, translate it to Spanish. But he wrote, listening to this radio show over 5 or 10 years, he was writing down these different stories that I tell and putting them into order, chronological order. Of course, the stories I tell are usually true, but not always. Sometimes I tell tall tales, cuentos chinos. We say tall tales. And sometimes I change the story and say it happened to me when it really happened to a friend at school to make it more interesting. So don't trust me. Not everything I say is necessarily true, because my objective is to teach English. And to teach English well, you need the attention of the student. And to get the attention of the student, you need to be interesting. And so the class needs to be interesting. So I use every trick in the book. Esta expresión, cada truco en el libro, es muy corriente en inglés. To use every trick in the book means saco debajo de las piedras cosas. Sin para ello, sirve para el propósito final. The final purpose is for my listeners to learn English. I have a mystery guest sitting opposite me. It's interesting. About a week ago or a week and a half ago, I received a gift here. And I opened it up, and it was a bottle of Albariño.
Yep.
Yeah. And something else. I can't remember. Albariño and, pimientos del padrón. Yes. So I opened up this box a bag, and inside there was a bottle of Albariño wine, which I love, and pimientos del padrón, which I don't. I'm not a big pepper fan, but other people are in my family. Don't worry. And there was a card. There was a little note inside, and so I called the person in question and invited him here, and here he is. Eduardo, good morning. How are you?
Good morning.
Yes, Eduardo Rodriguez Tobes. He is a military man. He's from the Navy, but he also left the Navy. He retired from the Navy and worked in the private sector. We'll find out a bit more. Now, many of the people who are in the Navy are originally from Galicia. Is your family from Galicia?
Yes.
All right.
They are, yeah.
Were you born in Galicia?
Yeah, I was born in Ferrol del Caudillo.
Wow. Bueno, hoy en día Ferrol.
Today is called Ferrol.
All right, el Ferrol del Caudillo. And at what age did you decide you wanted to join the Navy? And from the very beginning, from the earliest?
Yes,
age?
Because my father was an officer man too.
Was an officer?
Yes, an officer.
Not an officer man, no. Don't hit the table. They can hear it.
Okay. An officer. And my grandfather, too.
Ah, so you're from a family of...
Yeah. It's a tradition.
Sorry?
It's a tradition in my family.
All right.
To join the Navy, okay?
But do you have any brothers? Do you have brothers or sisters?
Yes. We are six brothers. One died. And in the Navy, We were in the Navy four.
Okay, escucha, en inglés no se dice we were four. Se dice there were four of us. Había cuatro de nosotros.
Yeah.
Si dices we were four, significa teníamos cuatro años de edad. You know, how old are you? How old were you at that time? We were four. My friend and I, no. There were four of us. Ahora se entiende. Be careful with the table. Don't worry, everybody does it. You're not the only one. When people, I do it sometimes. I believe it. And they can hear it.
I'm going to put my hands off the table.
All right. But so, from the earliest age, you were
yes
determined to join the Navy.
Yes.
How old were you when you joined the Navy?
I joined the Navy when I was 18 years old.
And did you go to Marine, to the school?
Yes, I was in five years in the Naval Academy Marine.
Did you climb to the top of the mast?
Of course. To the end of the mast.
Mm. Is it dangerous?
Yes, maybe dangerous.
Now it's prohibited. You know that.
Yes, you have to ask for permission.
All right.
To go up there.
To climb the mast.
Yes, exactly.
All right, so you spent 5 years in Marine.
Yeah.
And then what rank did you...
I got the rank of lieutenant.
Lieutenant. Is that alférez or teniente?
It's teniente.
Okay, good. Okay.
Lieutenant. And then I was assigned to a group of ships, and minesweepers.
Minesweepers.
Yeah.
Wow. Those. How do you say
minesweepers?
Dragaminas.
Dragaminas. Yes.
Dragaminas. Okay. Are they dangerous?
No.
No. I mean, mines are dangerous.
No.
But if you're in a minesweeper, it's not dangerous.
Yeah.
Okay, so
I was assigned to the aircraft carrier, Porta Aeronaves Dédalo.
Dédalo, I remember Dédalo.
The Dédalo, yes, but formerly the Dédalo was an American Navy ship.
Navy, Masuve, Navy.
Navy ship.
Okay.
And it took part in the Second World War.
What was the name of the aircraft carrier?
The USS Cabot was the first name, and then Dédalo.
Okay, so the USS Cabot.
Yeah.
All right. This is it. We have pictures of the USS Cabot, which later became El Dédalo.
Yeah.
All right.
Exactly.
Dédalo, like Daedalus from the Greek mythology.
Yes, yeah, exactly.
You know, he was blind.
Yeah.
Daedalus is blind.
Dédalo and Ícaro.
And Ícaro. Yeah. All right. But first, you were on a minesweeper. How many years did you work on the minesweeper?
Two years and a half.
Two and a half years.
Yeah.
Two and a half years.
Two and a half years.
And I can't imagine. Are there any mines? Or do you place the mines artificially? Where did you work on the Dragaminas, on the minesweeper? Around the Spanish coast or... In the Strait of Gibraltar?
Mainly around the Spanish coast, but sometimes in Europe also.
Are there any mines around the Spanish coast?
No, in the Civil War, yes.
There were. But you know, in the Second World War, the Germans placed a lot of mines.
Yeah.
And some of them may still be there, you know, reliquias. You know, are they still dangerous today?
Yes.
They are.
Maybe, yes, they are.
Yeah. And so 2.5 years on a
mine. They have to dismantle the mines, so maybe dangerous.
Okay.
For the navigation.
All right. Are you married or single?
I am divorced.
Okay, but did you get married when you were working on the minesweeper?
Yes.
All right.
Yes, I was married.
You were already married. Did you get married while you were in Marine? When did you get married?
In the 1970.
In 1970. Where were you? In 1970, were you in the academy?
I was in the Navy. I was with the rank of lieutenant.
Okay, good. Okay. So, 2.5 years in the minesweeper, and then you passed to the aircraft carrier.
Yes, but before that, I was assigned to the naval base Rota. Rota.
Rota.
As Americans say.
Rota. Yeah.
Rota.
And did you work with the Americans?
Yes. We have a lot of meetings with Americans.
All right. Did you have trouble understanding them at first?
Yes, I have some trouble, but...
All right. But did you know English well when you went to Marine to study?
No, I have just, I only knew a little bit of English.
All right. So when did you learn?
And then I perfect the English in the Navy school. Okay.
In Marine. And did they teach English well in Marine?
Yes. Okay. We had two English teachers.
Uh-huh.
And we learned a lot of English there.
Well, I mean, you had 5 years. So every year you had class.
Yeah. Exactly. Every year we had the English classes.
Yes. And how long were you working in Rota?
In Rota, I was 2 years and a half.
2.5 years. So 2.5 years in the minesweeper, 2.5 years in Rota.
Yes. And then in the Dedalo.
Careful.
In the Dedalo, I was for 3 years and a half.
3.5 years.
Yeah.
Mira, 3.5 years. Esto no lo han enseñado en Marín. Cuando es algo y medio, siempre es 2.5 years, 3.5 years, 4.5 years, 5.5 years, 2.5 days, 4.5 weeks, 9.5 weeks. Excepto cuando es una sola unidad. It's a week and a half, a day and a half, a month and a half, a year and a half, 2.5 years. So it switches. But don't worry. I'm an English teacher. It's my job to correct.
Okay, thanks.
If you say 2 years and a half, people understand perfectly. Y si yo digo en español dos y medio años, me has entendido. Pero, you know, estuve dos y medio años ahí. You, no problem.
Yeah.
But if you're a Spanish teacher, you say, perdón, Richard, si dos años y medio. All right. You say it that way. All right. So you spent, and you were 3.5 years on the Daedalus.
Yes.
All right. Did you enjoy it?
Of course.
What was your position there?
I was the supply manager.
Logistics.
Yes, supply officer.
Officer. All right. And so you had, but that includes everything, including the food.
Exactly.
So you had
the food, the payments, and everything, the role.
Oh, that sounds horrible. But you enjoyed the job.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. You know, can you imagine dealing with suppliers of food and your cooks and storing all the food and then the spare parts as well?
The spare parts is very important.
Spare parts. Piezas de recambio.
Exactly.
Or de repuesto.
Exactly.
Yeah. Which word do you use? Repuesto or recambio?
Repuestos.
Okay, repuestos.
This is the official name in the Navy.
All right. It's the official name. I think I know that in Ford Motor Company, here, they say recambios, el departamento de recambios. But in John Deere Iberica, they usan departamento de repuestos. It's interesting. So they interchange. So by the time you finished those 3.5 years on the Dedalo, on the aircraft carrier, what was your rank?
Lieutenant, let's say in the Spanish Navy is Capitan.
Captain.
And then commander.
Major. Comandante.
Exactly.
Yeah, major. Mayor, sí, mayor. Major. Okay, so, and then after Daedalus, did you retire?
No. I went to Madrid.
I came to Madrid.
Yes.
¿Cómo?
Yes, I came to Madrid. And then I was responsible for the spare parts in the AJAL. The name is AJAL. It's a logistics center.
How do you spell it?
AJAL. AJAL.
AJAL, AJAL.
AJAL. AJAL is the admiral, but the name is JAL. And in Spanish, it's Jefatura del Apoyo Logístico.
JAL. It's also Japan.
Logistics support.
Yeah, hay líneas aéreas japonesas también. Let's see.
Yeah.
Let's see, military baggage.
Japanese Airlines.
Yes. All right. So you worked in the JAL.
Yeah.
For how many years?
I was there 3.5 years.
3.5 years. Okay. Working on the central area for logistics.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. That's a big responsibility.
Yes.
Yeah.
To keep all the ships with the level of spare parts in the right way.
How many ships were there at that time?
Maybe 5 destroyers, 1 aircraft carrier,
Let's see, hold on.
Six submarines.
Hold on, five destroyers, six aircraft carriers. All right.
No, six.
One aircraft carrier. Five destroyers, yeah. One aircraft carrier.
And then corvettes, five corvettes.
How do you say corvette?
Corvette.
You say corvette? Sure.
I think so.
Okay.
I think it's a French name.
Yeah, corvette, yeah. Let me find out. Corvetta. Capitán de corvetta.
Exactly.
Yes. It's very common.
It's corvette.
Corvette, con V. Corvette, yeah, like the American car.
And two T's.
And two T's. Five corvettes. Corvettes? What else? Did you have any battleships?
Frigates.
Frigates. How many? Fragatas?
Five frigates.
Frigates. Any battleships?
And then submarines.
How many submarines?
Six submarines.
Six subs. And any cruisers?
Conventional. And cruiser, yes. At that time was out of service.
The cruiser,
yeah. The Canarias.
El Canarias.
Canarias took part in the Civil War, Spanish Civil War. Yeah.
Any battleships?
No.
How do you say battleship?
Battleship is crucero acorazado.
Acorazado, el acorazado Potemkin, yeah. All right. So, at that time then, five destroyers, one aircraft carrier, five corvettes, five frigates, and six submarines.
And there's small ships.
Okay.
Like tugs, for instance.
Tugboats. Remolques. How do you say tugboat?
Tugboats, remolcadores.
Remolcadores, all right. So you had to have spare parts available for all of these.
Exactly.
All right.
Centralized in Madrid. Yes. And were
the suppliers basically Spanish suppliers? Or?
Yes, basically American suppliers.
Why? Why not Spanish?
Yes, because the equipment of the ships.
Was American.
Yes.
All right.
The system of combat, for instance.
Okay.
The Aegis, called Aegis, is an American patent. It's a Navy.
AEGIS?
Yes.
All right.
AEGIS, exactly.
Yeah, Aegis. Okay, so you didn't have any suppliers who made will-fit parts that could fit. Identical copied parts. All right. And now, in the Spanish Navy, are there more ships or fewer ships?
Now, fewer ships.
So the Navy is smaller.
For instance, submarines, we have only two.
Only two submarines.
One is under construction.
All right. And so the Spanish Navy is smaller now than 30 years ago.
Yes, because it's very costly.
It's very expensive, yeah.
It's very expensive to keep a fleet today.
Well, does Spain need a fleet?
Mainly for the equipment.
All right. But does Spain need a fleet?
I think so.
Yes. What's the greatest? The greatest
if
danger.
If we want to be respected in the international affairs,
yes,
we need a strong navy.
But also, you're part of the NATO. You're part of NATO.
Yes,
and
of
so
course.
You need to operate within
since the 1982.
Since 1982, I remember.
You remember?
Otan de entrada, no.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Que es un juego de palabras.
That's
porque,
the mood.
That was an interesting thing. Felipe González said, Otan de entrada, no. It was interesting. De entrada, ni hablar. O de entrada, no. Pero nos lo pensamos. So
yes.
It was completely.
Yeah.
it was a genius to put that. But in any case.
Exactly.
But Felipe had it very clear that he wanted Spain to be part of the Western culture, Western world. And so very soon, OTAN, yes, and then the European Union, etc.
He had problems with the leftist wing.
Of his party.
His party, yeah.
Of course.
Yeah.
That's typical in every socialist party, and including the Democratic Party in the United States, there's a more radical, progressive wing.
Yeah.
That's part of life. If you have a party system or a democratic system. Okay, so how many years did you work in the jail?
In jail, 4 years.
For 4 years, okay. And then, after that?
And for that, I left the Navy.
Okay, so you retired.
And
how
I
old
retired.
Were you when you retired?
How old?
How old were you when you retired from the Navy?
43 years old.
So?
I was, yeah.
You were 43?
Yeah.
Why did you decide to retire? Why didn't
because
you continue? You were a major or a colonel. What was your...
A law was passed.
Excuse me?
A law was passed in the Congreso de Diputados.
In the parliament. And, in the and, parliament.
And, yeah, in the parliament. And they let to the people working in the army, in the navy, in the air force, to leave the army or the navy,
mm-hmm.
and keeping the salary.
All right.
Okay.
It's similar
and,
in the
and
United
even,
States.
Even you can get another, to upgrade to another rank.
Okay. What is your rank today?
My rank when I left the Navy was Lieutenant Commander. It's Comandante.
Comandante, well,
yes.
It's major. Yeah, in the Navy, I don't know
and,
what that
is. And then when I left the Navy, within 3 years or 4 years, more or less, I got the rank of Lieutenant Colonel.
Colonel. Lieutenant Colonel.
Yeah.
Teniente Coronel. All right.
Yes, but in the Navy, in the American Navy, is Commander.
Okay.
All right. I got the rank of Commander.
Okay, so you retired at the age of 43 and entered the private sector, is that right?
Exactly.
Well, where did you go? Where did you work?
Nothing.
You were unemployed.
I was an unemployed man.
Okay.
And then I signed for Electrolux.
Electrolux.
Because I had a friend of mine there.
You had a friend?
Yeah.
All right.
Working
at
Electrolux.
And did you start?
Do you need a manager of logistics or something? Yes.
Did you start in Madrid or in Torrejón?
I have a vacancy now.
A vacancy?
A vacancy now.
All right. So did you start in Torrejón or did you start in...
I start in Torrejón.
Pasado
no,
Rio?
Torrejón, no, it's in Alcalá.
Bueno, es casi, okay.
We have a big warehouse, central warehouse there.
Yeah, cruzando Rio Torito. I remember in there. Okay, so you worked in Electrolux. At that time, was it called Electrolux or Zanussi?
No, called Electrolux, because Electrolux acquired Zanussi.
Okay, I know. It was Ibelsa?
Iberica de Electrodomésticos.
Okay, good. White Line.
White Line. Exactly. White Goods.
White Goods. And it has a factory in Alcalá?
Yes.
And a factory in
washing
in
machines.
In Logroño. Bueno,
exactly. Logroño is devoted or dedicated to the refrigerators.
And freezers.
And Alcalá for washing machines.
All right. How many years did you work in Electrolux?
16 years.
Wow. In logistics, basically.
Basically, yes. And the last 4 years, I was involved in purchasing.
Purchasing. All
purchasing.
Right. Did you enjoy those years in the private sector?
Yes. I learned a lot there.
Okay. Working
and
with
I traveled a lot to many countries.
And you worked with the Swedish people quite a bit.
Yeah.
And the Swedish mentality and the Swedish organization.
Yes.
Did you appreciate it?
Yes, I appreciate them.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're here simply as an act of courtesy. I'm here with a new friend, Eduardo Rodriguez Toubes. Ex-military, ex-Navy, but retired now, who sent me a wonderful bottle of wine, which I haven't started yet. I'm waiting for the right food. but in any case, it's a real pleasure to have you here. I hope you've enjoyed your half hour on radio.
Thank you very much.
And I hope to see you again. So, Nacho, it's your baby. Take it away.
Hear ye, hear ye. Step right up, ladies, gentlemen, children of all ages. It's time for the most exciting time of the year. The Book Fair is back. And, of course, Vaughn is gonna be there. Join us September 10th to the 26th at the Retiro Park in Madrid. You'll get to meet all your favorite Vaughn Radio personalities, from Richard Vaughn to Ximena Holiday to Kyle Miller to Fitz to Rob Grams and so many more. Join us at the Feria del Libro in Madrid. We'll be at stand 283, and the Vaughn stand is where it's all happening. Stand 283. See you there.
Young people in Spain speak and understand English better today than 20 years ago. However, their level is still insufficient.